Okay, I'd like to bring the Finance Committee, first of all, good morning. 7:30 a.m., I'd like to bring this Finance Committee meeting of City Council to order. In attendance at this point are myself, Mr. Fry, Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Richardson on the committee, Mr. Hamm, I'm sure will be here momentarily, Ms. Stow and Mr. Hanson as well. Also in attendance from the administrative staff are Mr. Sanford, Mr. Schreuer, Mrs. Brining, Mr. Aller, and obviously Mayor Stow is here as well to my left. And the subject of the meeting this morning and is regarding the 2023 proposed budget. You all in the council packets had a chance to hopefully review the budget highlights that were put in there. This is a similar structure and format to what we've seen in the past, in past years. So I would, unless there's any initial questions from members of council, I would toss it over to Mr. Schreuer for his presentation of the budget highlights.
Thank you, Mr. Fry. I'll start with a brief summary of where we're at through September of this year. I know that I've sent some reports out to, so this may be a reminder, but our income taxes for the year to date are up 10.5%. That's just over $900,000 more than we collected this year through September than we did last year. Our general fund balance is right around $8 million. Capital fund balance is right around $13 million, so $21 million between our two major funds. At the end of the year, some of that money will be transferred between the two funds, so that the balance, the general fund balance will come down about $2.4 million, and the capital improvement balance will go up $2.4 million. That's what we had built into the budget last, this current year's budget. I'm projecting the 2022 to end with a $1.2 million surplus between all the major operating and capital funds. In 2021, the audited surplus was just under $2 million. In 2020, the audited surplus was $3.2 million. And in 2019, the audited surplus was $1.4 million. So we've been operating in significant surplus. Some of that's, you know, the federal government money that we've received, but the majority of it is income tax collections being up each year. Okay, so page one of the budget highlights. Typically over the last, let's say a 10-year period before COVID, our income taxes had been increasing about 4 to 4.5% each year on average. You know, we had some spikes and then increases during COVID. But the last 2 years, our income taxes have really increased significantly high. Like I said, this year, 10.5%. So I'm projecting next year's increase to be 6%. It's a little higher than what our average had been over, you know, 10 years, but I'm comfortable that that's conservative enough, the way that our income taxes have been going the last couple of years. That's $13.2 million that we'll collect in income taxes in 2023. And again, if you guys have any questions, just interrupt me and I'll do my best to answer them.
Mr. Schreuer, one moment. I think I inadvertently skipped Mr. McCann being in attendance, so if I did, I apologize. My apologies. He's been here since the beginning, so my apologies, just to make sure it's on the record. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
This budget presentation for the rest of the council members has been presented by me to the mayor and to Mr. Fry. And Mary just happened to be there for another meeting and caught it, but so it has been presented to the president, council, and the mayor already. In the general fund, the revenue, I'm projecting it to be $8.8 million, you see there in number two. That's before transfers, and let me explain that. When we get income tax in, 25% of that goes into the general fund immediately. 8% goes into the capital improvement fund. and then 67% goes into income tax fund. Once the income tax expenses, which is the income tax department, and refunds, income tax refunds, once those are paid, the rest of that money gets transferred. Some of it gets transferred to pay for our bonds, but the majority of it gets transferred into the general fund for general fund expenses. So that's kind of how it's set up right now. So when I say that the revenue is 8.8 million, that's before any of those transfers come in. And that's 555,000 higher than what the 2022 budget is. But most, the majority of that, 400,000, is the additional income tax that I'm budgeting. Is there any questions on revenue? It's pretty straightforward. Court revenue is down. The court deficit had been shrinking pre-COVID. It was in the 600,000s. The reason for that at the time was for the court revenue was increasing. That has since decreased a couple $100,000. So this budget, the court deficit's about 950,000 again, back up where it was, you know, 5 years ago, let's say. Because expenses really haven't changed much and didn't change much as a whole. They've moved, you know, they've lowered some expenses and increased some expenses, but they're pretty much reliant, that deficit's reliant on the revenue, and their revenue's down. So.
Does Mike have an answer for that?
I think when he came in, he may have, did he bring that up when he presented? I'm not sure, but it's, when he said it.
No, he didn't, he did not address that.
He has addressed it with me. It's partially what the police are doing. It's dependent on what the police are out there doing, so their cases are down. It's not like they're lower in their fees. It's really driven by the number of cases. And it, that really went down significantly when COVID started, and it really hasn't got back near the level that it was before COVID. I don't know, Leslie, if there's anything else. Or, but
yeah, I think that seems to be the understanding that I have as well.
I mean, that's a significant decrease.
Mm-hmm. It is. The revenues are down $200,000 a year from what they were pre-COVID. Now,
can we talk to him about his fee structure and whether there's any room in that fee structure to address that deficit?
If you remember, he increased all his fees when he came in. And
I understand that.
That's what brought the deficit down.
The point is, we operate, you know, this money comes right out of
Yeah.
Our taxpayers, almost a very small part of the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so I don't think it's a sufficient answer to say I raised fees 6 years ago. Okay, that's, you know, if you're a business, that's not how you do it. So I appreciate if you pass on to Mike counsel's concern with this deficit. I know he wants to run again, I assume, next year. And, you know, that's, I think there's, you know, the court deficit is a problem for the city. It has been, it continues to be. So, and I'll be vocal about it.
They've gone up. What I meant to say was the reason that he was able to decrease that deficit from 900,000 to, let's say, 650,000 was entirely on the revenue side. Expenses have, he's done a decent job of controlling expenses. They go up a little bit each year, but it's that's not what's driving that deficit. It's the revenue. Does that make sense?
So basically, the for various reasons aren't stopping, and I'm talking about in the entire court district, not just in the city, aren't having as many interactions with the public, and therefore there's not as many traffic stops and other things that would generate revenue. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I believe that's what he's saying.
Okay.
Well, and I think evictions and those sorts of civil actions are also, have also been down because of some legal constraints on evicting people, so.
Which doesn't have anything to do with our courts or law enforcement.
Okay, so the second section there, expenditures. The general fund expenditures are budgeted at just under $13 million. That's an increase of 2.6% or $333,000 from the 2022 budget. That 2.6% is really, most of that's built into wage increases. This is the second year of the union contract. So all union members are getting a 3% wage increase, and you'll be presented later in the year with a non-union pay ordinance that will also include a 3% pay increase for non-union employees. So that's all built, 3% is what's built into the budget. With all that money that I talked about earlier from the income tax fund getting transferred into the general fund, we don't need that amount of money to cover our general fund expenses. It's more than what we need. So what we do is then we transfer from the general fund to the capital improvement fund to help fund the capital improvement projects. This current year, in 2022, we're going to transfer back $2.4 million from the general fund to the capital improvement fund. In next year's budget, I'm projecting that to be $3.3 million because of additional income tax revenue. So once all the expenses out of the general fund, you know, are paid, essentially, we still have a surplus of $3.3 million in there, and we're going to transfer that then to the capital improvement fund to help pay for the capital projects that we'll talk about a little bit later. That all makes sense?
May I ask a question? With number two of the expenditure sections here, increasing it by the 3%, mm-hmm. I know that this is the standard we've done, and I'm not against this percentage. I just wanted to bring up, I've heard the conversations, a lot of, you know, expenses have gone up, what is it, 8 to 10% now, generally across the board, and so in a way, really, after balancing that, everyone's going to be able to pay for about 5% less than they could prior to this. Is there any concern with that, by increasing less than inflation, that we would have trouble having workers retaining our current staff or anything along those lines? Do we know that from administration?
We've certainly seen that on the side of replacing staff. But I think that's, I think we'd have, you know, probably just as much problem even if the pay was a little bit higher. It's just the way it is out there. If you don't look at just the percentages, the city pays well. It's more than fair.
Okay.
I don't expect. Ultimately, the unions agreed to this, you know, just a year ago, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, a three-year contract was 2.5% the first year, 3% the second year, and 2.75% the third year. And there's no way we would have got that if they weren't already paid more than fairly, you know, because mm-hmm. those were pretty low percentages at the time, even when we got it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously everybody's always going to like to make more, but I think everyone in the city understands that they're paid very fairly.
Okay.
But obviously, the union contract, we got another year to go, you know, we'll watch it and see, but I don't suspect, other than it just being harder to find employees now, I don't suspect that the pay at the city is going to be a hindrance to that.
Okay. I mean, since we've consistently bumped up over time, it means that we've been able to stay competitive even when things are a little bit harder.
And there are outliners. There are outliner communities that have gone far and above. You know, and they're out there with real high pay,
mm-hmm.
but the city of Sylvania is right, you know, right in there with the majority of the local areas around here.
Okay. Thank you.
And the 3% that for the non-union, since I've been here, it's always, it's been the same as the union contracts. But that's something new that the city council votes on at the end of the year.
And I guess if inflation continues at the rates that we've seen in the last year, that'll be more of an issue in our next negotiation.
Yeah.
And elsewhere, so. But we've been pretty, I think we've been a pretty good employer over the years, with pretty steady set of salary and wage increases.
Yeah.
So we've certainly kept pace with our other communities.
When I started 10 years ago, we were that outlier. We were the high outlier, and over the course of the 10 years, you know, still being fair to the employees, but just slowing it down a little bit. We've now joined in with everybody else, and it seems to be working okay. If you go to number three under expenditures, the community programs, on page five of your budget summary, the Sylvania Prevention Alliance has, what's currently in the budget is what we awarded last year. The Sylvania Prevention Alliance received $15,000 this year, and their request was $25,000. And then the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce received $16,000 this current year, and they've asked for $25,000. None, all the other groups maintain their current levels. But what's in the budget is the 2022 award, not the request. So that would be something that council would tell me to add into the budget if that's the direction you want to go.
Did we get something from the Sylvania Area Chamber of Commerce?
We did. I sent that out.
I seem to recall.
I don't remember exact detail. Part of it, and Mayor Bill may be able to speak to this more. They're taking over our, and this was just part of it, not the entire reason why they asked for an increase, but they're taking over the Memorial Day parade for us. But I don't remember right offhand if there was something else specific that they were requesting the money, the additional money for.
The Chamber has parade when they ask for money every year.
Yeah.
That's not unusual. It didn't matter on the director. But the change this year is more of a parade. The State Guard no longer wants to man at their busy time of the year. They don't think that's a $9,000.
Is it a $4,000 event?
I mean, they try not to make money going, actually, right?
No, but they don't.
Not on the parade.
And if they did the Fall Festival. Okay. Fall Festival has, they were reluctant to take that over when I asked them to, that they were able to man it, and because they are so good at marketing, it's become a profit center for them.
It's a great event.
That's not the appropriate thing.
Yeah.
In my mind, Doug, and I talked with the mayor about this briefly, this coming year would be the first year that they would have the parade under their control. My tendency would be to say, let's see how much time and effort you're really putting forward and have them show that to us before we discuss any potential change in the pay structure. It's difficult to know how much time that's really going to take them. They know how to throw a parade, and I don't know how much that really entails. I tend to agree with the mayor, it's probably not $9,000 of their time, but clearly there would be significant amounts of time expended on it. I just don't know what that looks like.
I suspect if you increase these couple this year, that we'll probably have additional requests next year for that $25,000 too from the other ones. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect that's how it'll go.
I'm a little surprised that not everyone is requesting a little bit more with how much more expensive things are getting.
They may not know you know, I don't know how much the groups are aware of what the other groups are asking for. Because I was thinking, I'm surprised the other ones, if they knew that they, a couple of them had asked for $25,000, I would think they would come in here with $25,000 too, but they may not be aware of that.
Other than DSA Redbird, which started during my tenure, I believe pretty much everybody else on this list had the exact same number on my 8 years on council. So they may not even, they may recognize that, hey, we're going, the city's going to provide what it's going to provide. You can request more, but it's, historically, that has not borne fruit.
Got it.
And another point that other councils have thought about, appropriately or not, think about what the township provides to these organizations. Redbird's in the downtown, there's no doubt about that. But the other organizations serve a larger township population than they do a city population, and yet the township participation is greatly less. And we talked about the court, our taxpayers supporting the court function. Same is true for these organizations.
But the township didn't participate at all in any of this, did they?
They do small amounts, a lot smaller amounts. At least up until a couple of years ago, they had, unless they declined to do that now.
Who's that from?
The township. Do they contribute to the chamber because you're on the board?
I'm not sure about that one. I know they contribute to the other groups, but...
I thought they suspended that a couple of years ago.
They may have, I don't know.
But they've actually, township has picked up the last...
Have they?
What did change in the last year that you know, only is the township rep, I am the city's rep, and we have voting members of the chamber board.
The last number that I saw, we were given significantly more than what the township was.
And that's not a reason for change. What are your thoughts?
What determined the historical amounts? What I mean is, you know, Savannah Area Family Services is double Savannah Prevention Alliance. Is that based on need or outreach?
I will say the $30,000 was in place before I got here, so
yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how that $30,000 was determined, but.
Council faced this during more difficult financial times and tried to tie the hotel tax to what these are. Were significantly above that, $60,000 a year.
Yeah, $60,000 or $70,000.
I did see on the news an interesting thing. The township's going to put a hotel motel tax in place for a new hotel, Holiday Inn Express at Central and Express.
I didn't know that.
It's just being talked about last night on the news.
They can do that as a home rule township?
I don't know.
Because they couldn't do it before.
I think they were investigating and they thought they could, but it's not a done deal.
Mm-hmm. I'd say in general with this, I want to support our community projects, and we know the expenses have been going up. It does seem like a pretty big jump to go from 15 to 25 or 16 to 25. That's, you know, a 45% increase or so. But I wouldn't want to also just courage, I guess, of not being responsive. So I guess I would propose maybe a slight increase for both of them of what maybe we would seem appropriate for the new things that they're doing. I mean, a new parade and then this youth program with the chamber in partnership with the schools. I mean, I don't know how we would actually determine those amounts, but it's tough for me to make that 45% jump, but I could see increasing it some.
I'm sorry I had to step out, so I maybe missed a portion of the discussion. I do think we should be aware, though, if we decide to increase some, all the others are going to want an increase as well. And I do think, there may be a time to revisit this conversation and the Finance Committee as we move forward in the next fiscal year. At this point in time, I don't think we want to randomly make this decision. One of the things we might do is have a more thorough discussion of if it's time to increase community program funding going forward, because once you do it, it's there for the long term. So those are just my two cents.
I guess, you know, the taking on the parade is an interesting specific event. And I'm not sure how that fell to Sage Yard originally, but.
I can give you the history, come on, give me a minute.
Sure.
It used to be entirely done by Hard Lands Ago, veteran, to have a Memorial Day parade.
Mm-hmm.
And as he got older, Ken Catafia stepped in and started assisting him to get it done. It wasn't officially Sage Yard, but it was Ken Catafia.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it slowly transferred to Ken. I did two different agendas for the day, two different sets of things. I had to merge them on the run as I was going, depending on who was talking to what organization. And then when Art retired and then passed away, Ken took it over entirely. Then it became an official Sage Yard event. And when Ken retired, it went to Mike and his crew. Brittany Moran took it over, who's now no longer with them. She's over at the Catawba Island Club. And it has become an issue for Mike to man it. They actually had to get somebody new this year, or we have to do somebody new. Plus, it's their busiest time of the year. That's his main talent. They're trying to get all their programs running at the same time.
They're running soccer tournaments.
Soccer tournaments, but everything's getting going, man. And he just says, we really need to jettison. And that's what's happened. And I went to the chamber, who has parade expertise, and said, okay, last year was a shared year, learning year. Next year is all Sage Yard, or all chamber.
Yeah, you know, it's an important event. It's obviously, we're recognizing that the workload on Sage Yard was such that they needed to offload it. I'm kind of with Lindsay on this. I think I'd be comfortable with the $4,000 bump, just based on that event. I knew there was something in that package that caught my attention. But, you know. So, yeah, I'm share Lindsay's concern, particularly with that organization. This isn't like everybody else who's still doing everything that we've talked about. This is a specific new responsibility they've taken on to some extent that, not officially at the city's request, but with the help and encouragement of us.
It's pretty official.
I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. You're a hard man to say no to. I get that.
You do have some cover if you decide to go that route. You do have some cover for the other groups that there's a specific reason that everybody should be able to understand that this is because they took over the parade. You know what I mean? It's not like we just have picked it, decided to give them more money. There is a reason.
They're taking on a major community event. Because it is a major community event.
It's the biggest one.
Did we give Sage Yard money to help with this?
I'm sorry?
No. Did we give Sage Yard money to do this over these years?
Well, I don't know how much. I don't know if Kevin's guys did anything, more than usual.
No, we didn't. What we're doing today is the same as we always do.
Okay.
But there was no payments.
Yeah, there's no payment. Okay.
Mr. Richardson, you're the only member of both Mrs. Westfall and Mr. Hanum had a chance. I wanted to give you a chance to share your thoughts.
Yeah, I would say I don't have a super strong feeling that $4,000 one way or the other when talking about the scope of the city budget.
$13 million in revenue?
Yeah.
We just spent 15 minutes talking about 80 grand?
I'm not going to lose sleep over $4,000 even when I think how little boxes are prudent because they are. I think that's fine, but it's not a hell of a lot either way. You know, it's $4,000.
Yeah.
Mr. Pryor? Just to add that, Mr. Sanders. I don't think there was any increase to the chamber allocation when they took over the Fall Festival. Now, at the Fall Festival, they do a fantastic job with it's now a 2-day event. Chamber is really doing a great job, and I think just requesting because of some of the marketing things that you're adding to the community. So it's more than just adding Memorial Day parade. It's the expansion in what the Fall Festival has become. Again, where we do differ in other communities, that, so you know that the chamber has talked about this, that we mentioned the hotel motel tax, which we don't, that isn't a big number for us, but in places like Perrysburg and Maumee, those go directly to a tourism group that may be the chamber in those other communities. You know, we don't do that. We keep that here, and then some of that is then rerouted, you could say, the chamber allocation. So that's what we're a little different from other communities, and we get pretty good bang for the buck, I feel, for the chamber.
My tendency is to adjust the chamber number slightly upwards with the understanding that it won't become a commercial attraction and a significant revenue source for the chamber. I don't want to have, that's a different kind of event than what the Fall Festival is, which is wonderful and I loved it and I love it every year. But this Memorial Day is a little different, substantially different, even though it's still a parade.
I'm sorry to ask for clarification. How did we come up with that $4,000 figure out of what
they... Mr. Hand's the one who came up with $4,000. That was just...
It was just a total guess.
It makes it even 20,000. Okay, that's what I'll do then. Make it
20,000. Members of the Finance Committee?
I support that.
I can live with it. I feel like okay. We're in the discussion. I hope that there'll be a deeper discussion about community programming for our next budget cycle.
I think we need to do that in more in depth, but recognizing that you and others have a tight timeline, I don't want to spend any more time on this one if we can help it. So I'm fine with the four bills.
Okay. The quickly, the number four there, the historical village ask is the same as it was for this current year. The city's number five, the city's debt payment in 2023 is $1.7 million. We currently have just over $10 million outstanding in bonds. In 2025, we'll have a $300,000 decrease in our bond payment as some bonds are paid off. And then in 2029, we'll have another $500,000 come off. And then in 2031, we're done with our bonds. We haven't issued any new bonds for over 10 years. We refunded with the lower interest rate, but we haven't issued any new money in over 10 years since I've been here. So that's really low. That $10 million in debt and bonds is really low for the city of our size. That's really good. And with bond rates going up right now, you know, when we get to the project, the overpass exchange or overpass project, the $3 million we're going to need, I suspect it's going to make more sense to take that money out of the capital improvement fund balance and to issue bonds just because of where the interest rates are going. But we'll see when we get there.
When is the timing on those bond? Would that be on the bonding?
Our we'll have to
come
to that in
2025. Okay, so we got a little time.
Number six, capital improvement. This is a big one this year. Capital improvement fund projects. Out of the capital improvement fund, Kevin's got $13.6 million in projects. And $6 million of that is grant money that he's been able to get. So a net of $7.6 million. That's just capital improvement projects. We got another $2 million project in sewers, and then $500,000 in water. So significant construction next year. If you go to page four and we talk about any of the specific projects, this is a lot higher than what we've done in the last few years, but the mayor and I both feel that we've been saving up our capital improvement fund balance with all those surpluses we've been running, and then this is the time to use some of that, essentially.
What's our capital fund budget or balance now?
Currently, it's 13 million. At the end of the year, it'll be between 15 and 16 million. The end of this current year. With the proposals, the capital improvement or capital projects proposed right now, the capital improvement fund balance, carryover balance, will go down $2.8 million next year. So, you know, at the end of next year, we'll be, you know, back to around 12 to 13 million in that.
How does that work? I'm not following. We're going to spend
7.8 million more than our, if you look at it just on an annual basis.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but we're, you've got a 7 point, essentially a 7.35 million dollar net expenditure, mm-hmm. and we're going to transfer from the capital fund
3.3. And we have another about 1.7 that automatically goes into the
right. Okay.
So we have about 5 million that's going into that fund, and we're spending out 7.6.
Okay.
Yeah, Does everybody understand that?
Yeah, I was trying to figure the math.
One comment I wanted to make on this, you'll notice on this, on the right-hand column, a lot of those, the word engineering, recognize engineering
yeah.
means we're going to design something to spend lots more money later, lots and lots more. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you say, hey, the engineering is $300,000. That means that it's 6, 8, 10 times that number when we get to the project.
No, Kevin's got grants for all those.
I understand he probably does have grants for some of that, and I just wanted to mention to everybody that that's something to keep in the back of your mind. I'm fully supportive of the structure. We've got a lot of good stuff going on here in our community, and we've husbanded our resources for many years. So, just one other thing. I know that we talked about streetlights, and I know you and I have talked about this. That's not in these buckets, but that's something that the city was also looking to do next year, correct?
We are, and we're taking that out of the assessment, the streetlight assessment fund. I think it's about $500,000, right?
$400,000.
And that's the change over to the LED lights. So that's not included in this fund. That's taken out of a whole other fund. It's a one-time thing.
And savings
we expect to recoup. We expect to recoup those. We're not increasing the assessment, to the residents. We expect to recoup that over time with the LED light usage.
The wastewater expenditures come out of the sewer fund?
That's the sewer project. That's the phase three of the sewer lining. And again, that's all grant funding. So really, then that's just, $300,000 that's coming out of that fund. And then obviously the water comes out of the water fund. And I think you indicated, Kevin, that...
What are the balances in those two funds? Do you remember?
Our water fund has a healthy balance. It's over $5 million. That was $5.4 million. That was what we built up for.
Right.
If we were going to our own water system, and we've since lowered the rates, and we operate basically now at an annual deficit of about $1 million to try to bring that $5 million balance down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just under $1 million. It's been coming down every year.
And what about the sewer fund?
The sewer goes up and down because of the phase two of the sewer lining.
Yep.
Once we receive reimbursements for all that kind of stuff, it's under $1 million for the sewer fund.
Okay.
That's all about timing and when we pay out the money and when we mm-hmm. receive it back. And I think you had indicated that next year will be another significant year for projects, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And this budget includes money for the pool, correct, in the park over there and the pool. Something that we haven't done in a long time, the traffic signal upgrades, almost $700,000, that's a big deal.
We had a big part of the scale, and I mentioned last night with the school building sponsors, the same thing, so everything in those is computerized, and, you know, price is 25 years old. Does anybody still own a computer that they had 25 years ago? It's just, we got fortunate, we were able to purchase, not really purchase, we get them a couple full controller boxes from ODOT. When we take them out on various projects, you know, they hold on to them, and things that we need to go and use the parts. We've been fortunate enough to be able to do that, but those are run out. And that's just a decision.
I do think we've held off on projects for quite a while, so if we feel like we're in a position to move a few forward, that makes some sense to me. I do have a quick question about the downtown streetscape kinds of things. Would that come out of the capital budget at some point?
Well, we're going to put the American Recovery Plan money into the $2 million, plus we talked about the SIP last night. That's probably going to
help us,
the remainder of the funding we need for that. It said it could produce $6 million last night.
Yes, it did.
Over 30 years. That's
over 30 years, but we can borrow from our savings to do that. But we estimate a million or so more. Like Kevin, that's still where you're at? $2 million project. Depends on what we do in the north block.
That is really
an unknown
cost.
Well, and I understand that. I just want to make sure that we don't spend so much in the capital. Yeah, I want to make sure that there's, you know, we hope it's not capital improvement money, but if we need access, I just want to make sure we haven't depleted, which, of course, we haven't looking at this.
We project forward 3 years, we're going to be down to $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, Mr. Schroyer's comment about our debt rate levels, and this probably certainly isn't the time to be going out and floating
good
debt.
Good point,
But, you know, fundamentally, we're doing an awful lot of capital work for roads that are going to last for potentially decades using existing cash balances.
Good point.
And a lot of this is grant-driven. Federal government opened up money available for grants. Mr. Aller's been working hard to get them. Joe Shaw works with him to do it. Joe Shaw's the chairman of the Transportation Committee down at Team of Fog. I'm still sitting on the board and watch what's going on. Lobby when I need to. We need to take advantage of these funds. Unfortunately, we have the savings to do it right now.
And remember, once, you know, speaking of the bonds, once the bonds are paid off in 2031, that's an additional, provided we don't issue any bonds between now and then, that's an additional $2 million every year that we'll have available for capital projects. Mm-hmm. So
time flies. 31 isn't very far off.
Yeah. And like I said, some of the amounts come up, you know, 25 and 29. So, but that'd be significant if the city would be in really good shape then at that point for capital projects, have additional $2 million.
Well, Mrs. Westwell, I know you've got a hard stop here shortly. Any questions, comments, or concerns?
No, oh, God, I think it's...
If you guys want to go to page 2 of the summary, that is the general fund. That's all the funds and operating deficit or surplus. But the main thing down in the box there, and this is something you guys see each quarter with the quarterly reports I send you. But between all the major operating and capital funds, the 2023 budget is a $2,039,000 deficit. Of course, you know, the capital fund deficit is $2.8 million, but we have some surpluses in some of the other funds. So as a whole, it's a $2 million deficit. Now, if somebody wants to, is the operating budget balanced? Yes. If somebody asks that, you can say yes. It's just as a whole, we are operating as a deficit next year. But that the answer is, we've decided to do multiple projects, I mentioned, capital project.
We're projected to operate at a deficit. We don't know what actually.
Correct.
And if things start to hit south on revenues, we can always.
Right.
Pull back if we need to.
Yeah, but I think you'd get a lot of, you know, pushback or different looks if you said they had $2 million deficit in operations, that would be very bad. But our operations is balanced, it's really the capital project that we decided to do additional.
And we have capital improvement funds available to fund that.
Page three is a summary of all the general fund departments, and all the column all the way to the right is the increase or decrease over the current budget. A couple to talk about, the community programs, the 12.2%. What's built into that? It's more than just the community programs that we just talked about. There's a special line item in there for special projects. For instance, this year, everything we've done with Michelle Johnson has come out of that. And a lot of times it's stuff that comes up that we really didn't know about ahead of time. But that's why that is an increase. And the percentage is high, but the dollar amount is really not a big increase. Civil service, the 60%, obviously, but again, a dollar amount, it's only $3,000. That's for additional tests. The other one I wanted to talk about, the transfers out. Remember, in this current year, we're transferring $2.4 million from the general fund to the capital fund. Next year, we're transferring $3.3 million, so that's why that's what that difference is. Information technology. The IT department has requested a new entry-level position. This is a position that pays at the most $45,000. They're expecting it to be maybe a new graduate, or like I said, it's really an entry-level position. It's more to help the IT department look towards the future to make things better instead of just fixing problems.
So the new guy will fix the problems, and our more seasoned people will make more strategic decisions.
Right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Somebody to do their busy work so that they can be looking forward to that.
And this person will be, they're looking at the future also. The IT director has indicated it's around 5 years. So that this person is being set up to have natural, you know, progression within the department. He's confident. I thought $45,000. My first inclination before he told me the dollar amount was it's got to be part-time. He can't do full-time with all the additional costs of a full-time employee. But then he said it was going to be $45,000. I thought, oh, that, you know, it wasn't a problem for me at that point then because of that. But that's why you see an increase in the IT department there.
That's not saying much at all.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mr. Price said the same thing. I've asked and confirmed with Chuck, and he's done the research. He's talked to multiple organizations and groups. This is not a programmer, okay? This is, you know, this is someone that they can teach what to do here.
This is hardware position, generalist in IT.
Yeah.
And for a starting out position, that's pretty good.
Do you put your resume in, Mr. McCann, for 45 bills?
other than that, is there, you know,
Any other questions?
Any other departments? All the increases are right around the low twos, and again, that's personnel. Our general fund, our operating fund is weighted heavily towards personnel, obviously. Our health insurance costs have been pretty stable since COVID. Obviously, we had a significant decline during COVID, but they are not up to the level that they used to be pre-COVID, so.
So, Mr. Schreier, I want to thank you and the administrative staff for working diligently to put the budget together. As always, a nice job pointing highlights out to us, things that we need to look at as members of council and at the, you know, at the mayor's direction in regards to some of these other things, the prioritizing a significant increase in capital expenditures, much of it being road repairs that in preparation for future road repairs. So thank you for that. Members of the Finance Committee, your thoughts? Willing to make a motion to advance the budget with the modification and the programs for consideration?
I move.
Motion by Mr. Hanum, second by Mrs. Westfall. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carried. Anything else to come before the Finance Committee?
Just a timing issue. Maybe you can
This will come to council in the next meeting for a first reading. My suggestion would be to at least take the first reading. We've done that in the past and then voted on it at the second reading. And that would be ideal for us, the second reading, but if it needs to go three readings, we certainly can handle that.
Yeah, we have. So adopt it in the first week of December, or...
It would be adopted.
I'm sorry, last week. Second meeting in November. And that gives you time to make those. Okay.
Anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. We are adjourned at 8:24.